You know, I was on Oahu for a little over a week. For those of you who don't know, the honor was bestowed upon me, and that I got to do my dad's funeral. And you know, I talked about knowing hope, not N-O, but K-N-O-W, knowing hope. And I got to share with all my family about knowing the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. And I was like, and you know, I did that, and God gave me the strength to do that without crying. I was like, whew, thank you, Lord. And he's here. Like, I was sharing with my family members that when my dad passed away, I mean, and I told my family members, no death is good. But when my dad passed away, my wife, myself, my two girls, we were all on Oahu. And the timing was like, it couldn't have been better, because we're never all on Oahu together, hardly ever. But we were all there. And we got to go to my mom's side and be with her during this tough time. And it's like, wow. And you look at God, the timing that God has is always so good and so perfect. Even when my car breaks down, man, it breaks down in Hilo. And that's so great, because it doesn't break down when I'm in Kau. Right? It's like, yeah, I mean, you know, God is just so incredibly good and faithful. Amen? Can we give the Lord praise? I mean, like, you really mean it. Man. Yes, amen. Let's, you know, I think it's always good to start with prayer. So let's do that. Lord, thank you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love. Man, we appreciate all you do for us. Lord, this morning, open our ears, open our hearts to hear your word. We thank you that we get to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I love, my favorite parts of my job is weddings and baby dedications, because it's so fun to do. You know, I've been doing so many weddings, and I love it. I love the exchange of vows. You know, I would get these couples, and I would tell, repeat after me, you know, to have and to hold from this day forward. Frank, you remember that, right, Frank? For better, for worse. Shannon, you remember that, right? For richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health. To love and to cherish. Until we are separated by death. As God, as my witness, I give you this promise. Amen. Sometimes, somewhere along the lines, man, couples forget the vows that they made when they got married. I mean, it's not like it's complicated, right? It's not like we cannot understand the words that we're saying. You know, to tell you the truth, I don't remember doing my vows when I married Christy. I don't. Honestly, I don't. All I said is, she told me is like, hey, honey, we're living together. We should get married. I said, okay, get the paperwork and I will show up. I was so bad. I mean, honestly, I was that bad. And, you know, she still was willing to marry me. Go figure that, man. She could probably see something down the line that I couldn't see, but she got everything done. We actually went to a judge's office to get married, and I don't even remember his name. All I remember was on his bookends on his shelf was two pig jaws. Yeah, man stuff, right? But I don't remember. I don't remember the vows. I remember saying, I do. I remembered I loved her. And it's like bad, but I know that I made a commitment. You know, and after coming to know Christ as my Lord, you know, I learned more and more about marriage, more and more about how to treat my wife. And I tell you what, I still got a long ways more. to go, because I'm still learning each day not to snap at her and not to, you know, just to love her unconditionally and, you know, to take care of her, to serve her. And, you know, I learned that in order for me to really protect my marriage, you must spend time with God. That is like automatic giving. Because if you don't spend time with God, your heart can become hardened to God, and it will impact the relationship you have with your spouse. And when we fail to meet with God, man, sometimes it can have like a snowball effect. And then our marriage can be endangered. But as we spend time with Him, we cling to Him, we confess to Him, and we continue to grow in Christ-likeness, man, by learning to love God, man, I learned to love my wife so much more. And she probably could tell you, yeah, you do good, but I know you're still working on it because you can do better. I mean, and it's not in a bad way, but it's in a good way, because I know I can become a better husband, I can become a better dad, I can become a better friend, a better parent. It's never ending until the day I die. It's always a way of constant improvement, drawing closer to Christ, becoming more Christ-like. Amen? And it's a good thing. So, you know, when I learned that when you have a spouse, or even in your friendships, man, here it, number one, when it comes to our marriage, we need to set some boundaries. Yeah, we need to set some boundaries. And you think, boundaries, that's kind of old-fashioned the way the world works nowadays. Maybe even legalistic. But if you think about it, boundaries could be like guardrails. You know, when you're driving down the road and there's a cliff on one side, and I don't know if you ever done that, but then there was a time, long time ago, when there was no guardrail, and I went off the cliff. But you imagine the guardrail, okay? You're driving down the road, and if you bump the guardrail, at least, you know, you may have a scratch in your car and stuff like that, but at least you're not dead. You know what I mean? What would be better, a scratch in the car? Because there was no guardrail, and I went off the road, I actually flew out of the window. God's had some better plan for me. He's kept me alive. But, you know, some people don't have that. They go off. They don't have a guardrail. They fly off. They die. But even though you have a slight damage in your car, you still have life. So we got to set some boundaries. You know, some of the boundaries were like, hey, I will not go out to eat alone with the opposite sex. I will not travel alone with the opposite sex. You know, I will not flirt or tell my problems to someone of the opposite sex, because that's how stuff happens. So in our marriage, we got to set some boundaries, some guidelines, some rules. I say, okay, I am not going to go past this. I am not going to go past this. Because if you look, and people will say, why? Don't you trust me? You ever heard that before? Hey, I wouldn't do. Don't you trust me? Hey, I trust you, but I don't trust the devil, because he can take stuff and twist it around and turn it, and next thing you know, you'd be in trouble. Matthew 5:27-28, Jesus said this: "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Wow, that's, I think most of us guys are guilty, huh? Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Man, the boundaries that we set on our marriage, the way we think, the way we look, we gotta set guardrails. We gotta put boundaries. We gotta put some kind of mental markers. I will not choose to go there. I will not go close to this. I will not go beyond this point. Andy Stanley said this as regarding to boundaries and guardrails. It is a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. So it's a standard of behavior that I will not counsel another woman in an enclosed office door with no windows. Amen. I will not do that. And it's like, sometimes I used to go to Pastor Dennis's house in the morning, and he was out at work, and he wasn't home yet, and his wife so graciously would come inside, and I'll wait outside, thank you very much, you know, thank you for thinking of me, but I can wait here for him to come home, and then we can talk, you know. I just said, I respected that, and I put boundaries. You know, protecting your marriage, you know, by safeguarding your relationship with people of the opposite sex. You know, we should never spend time with people of the opposite sex if they're not your husband or your wife. Many affairs have started by the harmless act of maybe just exercising together. You know, we gotta, you know, a lot of things too, you know, in the workplace is so bad. You know, I used to work at a supermarket many, many years ago, and I would see how, you know, people would hook up with different people from different places in the workplace, different department, different stores, and it was like a soap opera. It really was. And one of my really good friends, he was working in the market. His wife was working in the market. His wife ended fooling around with another manager from another store. And it was like, and I seen so many of marriages being destroyed in the workplace. And when that happens, you know, one spouse starts talking to another person of the opposite sex, and next thing you know, it's like, wow, man, if we could write this on paper, we could be rich. We could make a soap opera out of this, and people would buy it. And that's real. And because, why does this happen? Because there is no boundaries. There is no guardrails. There's no, like, okay, this is not right. And you know, you learn these things over the years. The practice of establishing an invisible wall and refraining from personal contact and conversations with other men and women, you know, those are critical. You know, men, if you have a problem with your marriage, don't go talk to another lady about it. Man, that's dangerous. You talk to another man about it. And women, when you have a problem with your husband, don't come to me. Go come see my wife. Yeah, I just got her in trouble. I just got myself in trouble too. But yeah, I mean, I hear it all the time. Pastor Scott, can you talk to my husband? Because he drinks too much, and I know you had that problem. And yeah, I will. I might talk with her on the phone, but you know, it's best to talk with my wife because she dealt with me drinking all these years. And, she, you know, you ladies can talk to her and she can tell you how to pray because she prayed for me. And look what happened. Wow. Yeah, power of prayer, power of my wife praying. She's a wonderful lady. And, you know, when we are faithful, when we are loyal, we reflect the faithfulness of God. Man, but the minute we mess up, man, it just ruins our witness for Christ. Just a little bit, and it's like, wow, everybody's pointing fingers at you. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So we gotta protect our marriage. Number two, I have to invest in my relationship with my spouse. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. When you can regard your wife or your husband as more important than yourself, when you can invest in that, man, watch the growth. A wise pastor told me that the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. The grass is greener where you water it and you fertilize it. Amen? Amen. You know, you protect your marriage by spending time together. You know, yesterday, I got to spend many hours with my wife. And she did something that she doesn't like to do. She came outside in the garage with me. I mean, the garage is my space. And the garage was just out of control, messy, right? And because of all my stuff. But she came home early from Macy's. Thank you, Jesus. And she rolled up her sleeves. She rolled up her sleeves and she got dirty. And we cleaned the garage. And oh, the garage is so nice. When my children came home, they must have went like, wow, what happened? Did somebody come and steal all the stuff? But she swept probably like a couple gallons of sawdust up from the garage and my storage. She helped clean up stuff. Of course, I found some sandpaper in a rubbish can. It's like, hey, honey, that's not rubbish. But hey, you know what? She did, and she stood by me. She spent time with me. And, oh, I had a wonderful time cleaning up with her. I don't know if she had a wonderful time, but I enjoyed it. So it makes up for all those hours holding the bags and following her to Ala Moana. Oh, I tell you, that is brutal, man. For me, I mean, just following them at Ala Moana is like, man. I mean, sitting outside of Pink, you know that store? It's like, man, that is torture. Sitting outside like, oh, man, how long are they going to take? But then she's seen that, and she returned the favor, and she spent time with me. She invested in me, and I was so happy. You know, it's so amazing that so many men are willing to invest so much in spiritual things and emotional things, finances. But when it comes time to the spouse, man, they got other things to do. And that's why I tell you men, take your wife out on a date. Amen? Amen. I like to bring my wife flowers at work, and all the other ladies at work like, wow, and they like to read the cards that I put on top. So I purposely write mushy stuff on top there. Yeah, and you know, I have learned over the years to invest in my spouse by spending time together. So, and a lot of times it's making sacrifices because we like to do the opposite things. See, I like to work outdoors and all that and go fishing, and she doesn't like to go fishing anymore because the sun, I guess, is too hot. She likes to go shopping, and shopping is like, come on, it drains me. But we do. We go. And when I go shopping, I try so hard to do it without grumbling. Because sometimes it's hard, but I try. You know, and I encourage you guys, spend time together. Set boundaries, spend time together. And number Number three, consider what's at stake. You know, consider what's at stake. Consider the future. Consider things, what would happen if you did split up or if the enemy did get in between both of you. Ephesians 5:15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. You know, women, protect your marriage. You know, sometimes you got to watch what you wear because men are so easily distracted. So you got to watch that. And men, you got to protect your marriage by guarding your eyes and your ears. You got to, just simple things like that. You know, a while back, years and years ago, before God showed me how to protect my marriage and how to relate, when guys used to get together, we used to love to talk bad about our wives. And when one guy would start the conversation by maybe he's talking about how bad his wife could cook, we would try and top that by saying how bad our wives could cook. And it would snowball, and we would just badmouth our wives. It's terrible. Yeah, and one way, you can really protect your marriage is, you know, you talk good about your wife. You know, like when I hang out with Jaywin and Frank, you listen to these guys, how they talk about their wives. You listen to how Harley talks about her husband. And you listen to how Jaywin talks about his wife. He tells me, man, Harley stuck by him through so many things. And the same way with my wife. You know, I tell ladies that my wife is so incredibly amazing. The first 10 years of our marriage couldn't have been pleasant for her because half the time I was drunk or high or stupid or immature, probably all of that. And she probably had every reason to leave me, but she didn't. She stood by me. She prayed for me. She loved me. She tells me, man, don't you remember? I used to bring you dinner and serve you. And it's like, man, I don't remember that. I'm sorry. Well, I used to do that, so I trust that she did that. But in my ignorance, I don't remember because I took her for granted. But I say, man, and people look at ladies. When I tell the ladies that, she go, wow, you're blessed. And I am super blessed. Because of she stood by me. And guys, man, if you can do this for your wives, build them up. Make them look like superwoman. Make them look like that Proverbs 31 woman. Because it will go far. Build them up. Encourage them. Wives, do the same for your husband. Tell other men, like, oh, my husband is the best looking one around. Yeah, I was doing stuff with my wife yesterday, and I was changing her spark plugs in her car, and I tell her, "Oh, honey, good thing I get a little bit talent, yeah, so I can do stuff." And you know what she tells me? "But you have more than a little bit talent. You have a lot." And I was like, "Wow, my head came big. Oh, I couldn't get in the house after that, man." And she's like, "You know what do you want your legacy to be? Your grandchildren?" To say about you, like, man, granddad, he really took care of grandma. He really spent time with her. He really loved her. You know, you can protect your marriage through accountability. Being accountable to other men. Being accountable to other women. You know, Pastor Alex used to always do that to me. He used to always ask me if I was taking my wife out on a date. And he made sure I did that. Because, man, when you can get a husband and wife together serving God, that is awesome. Here's the thing I want to ask all of you, men and women, married or not, in a relationship or not, what are you doing to protect your marriage? Think about it. What are these that you can do to protect your marriage? And even for those of you who are not married, what can you do to protect your relationships with friends, with relatives? what can you do? And think about, because it's not hard. I want your marriages to be solid. And if you need help, you know, we'll pray for you. We'll give you words from the Bible to help encourage you so that your marriage can be rock solid. Amen? How many of you want a rock solid marriage? Everybody better raise your hand. Even if you're single, because one day you're going to get married. Right? We all do. Man, and I've learned over the years through my relationship with God how to take care of my wife. And I am still learning. It's not like I'm there, all right? Every time you read the Bible, every moment you spend with God is going to help you in your relationships. Amen? Amen. Hey, we're going to get ready to take our missions offering. It is the fifth week. And the fifth week of the month, we do that. We take a missions offering. The worship team can come on up, or shall I say the men's ministry. You know, we are very active in our mission field. We always do this on the fifth Sunday. And even when there's no fifth Sunday, we do give something to missions. Lately, we've been giving to Foursquare Missions Press. And because I believe that when we support the Foursquare Missions Press, we support every single missionary who receives printed material from Foursquare. We have printing presses in countries where the word is not allowed, so we secretly bring these printing presses in and print material for our missionaries in foreign countries. And, you know, if you can give, give. If you cannot, hey, don't worry about it. Better yet, pray for our missionaries, because my prayer is so, so powerful. Amen? Let's pray over the missions. Ushers, get ready. Man, you can come up on stage, because we're going to close after this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you this morning have showed us ways that we can protect our marriage and our relationships. Lord, I pray that we would consider what's at stake. I would pray that we would set mental markers, boundaries, guardrails. Lord, that we would find people to help us be accountable, that we would spend time with our spouse, that we would love you, we would draw close to you, and that you would show us how to love our spouse like you love us. And Lord, this morning, as we give to the mission field, Lord, I pray that the money that we give would go so far to the ends of the earth, the east and to the west, to the north and to the south, and that it would equip our missionaries who risk their lives to reach people that we cannot reach, that we would partner up with them to be the arms, the feet, the heart, the voice of God. So this morning, as we give, Lord, we ask that you would bless it and increase it. We thank you that we get to partner up with those in the mission field. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.